The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Last year, social welfare inspectors uncovered more than 6,000 cases of suspected welfare fraud, leading to the recovery of more than €14 million in taxpayer money. The frequency of suspected fraudulent cases has been steadily increasing since 2018, further exacerbated by the pandemic. So what is causing this fraud? Can it be stopped? Well, joining me this morning, James Gagan, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay South, who raised the issue in the Dáil yesterday, and Suzanne Rogers with Social Justice Ireland. Good morning and welcome to you both. James, what prompted your question?
Morning, Pat. Well, look, like I suppose every politician or even just anyone, you know, who's maybe chatting to their friends in a pub or whatever, you hear these stories, you hear these anecdotes of, you know, people who are gaming the system. And I really wanted just to put some facts behind it. So I just asked the question to the minister in relation to what is the extent of fraud. And I suppose the first thing to say is the vast majority of welfare recipients are entitled to the benefits that they're receiving. But the numbers of suspected fraud cases, they are very high. I mean, 6,000 cases this year, which is actually an increase of 1,000 cases last year. And the monies involved in those cases are very significant as well. So over €14 million recovered this year and €13 million recovered last year. Now, if you take that in the context of the overall social welfare budget, which is $2.5 billion for this year, you know, that's less than 1%. But what it does show is that there are, you know, 6,000 individuals who are essentially willing to take the risk. And the threshold involved when a department decides that they suspect a case of fraud, it's a very high threshold for the deciding officer in the department. They have to be satisfied that there's sufficient evidence that a person deliberately provided false or misleading information.
Now, how do these come to light? I mean, are there routine kind of AI-driven audits that, you know, put red flags against people's names? Or is it information supplied by the public, which inspectors then follow up on?
It's a bit of both. I mean, there is social welfare fraud, phone numbers that people can contact if they suspect it. But clearly, the department and the previous ministers have put a lot of investment into fraud detection in the department. And as a result, you know, they're making significant recoveries. I mean, €14 million, €13 million last year. And I think there's under, you know, there was around 5,000 cases every year for the last 5 or 6 years. The department are unable to give me the figures on the previous 3 years preceding the last two. But what is clear is that there is a strong and robust system. You will be caught, and in some cases, you will be prosecuted, as we've seen before the courts, even most recently. So I think it's important for, you know, for your listeners and for people out there to know that your tax money is being looked after. But equally, we have to be vigilant to the risk that is out there in terms of people trying to perpetrate this.
Some of the numbers here, you mentioned that 14 million was recovered in 2024. But the value of overpayments in 2024 to people suspected of fraud was 24 million. Where's the other 10?
Well, I think it can take, there's a bit of a time lag. So the €14 million recovered in 2024 most likely does relate to cases that happened in 2023, 2022. So, but I do think you ask a fair question there in terms of...
No, but you know, if you look at 2023, the difference between the overpayments and the amount recovered is relatively smaller. Yes. About 18 million overpaid and 13.5 million recovered. So there's a deficit there of 4.5 million. In 2024, the difference is 10 million.
Yeah, no, and I think that's fair. There is a very big gap between 2024 in terms of the value of overpayments and the recoveries of suspected fraud cases. And I think that does merit further investigation. But as I understand it, at least, some of the figures that are recovered in a calendar year may relate to investigations that happened in a previous year, but it may well be the case that there's a lot more monies out there that you know that haven't been recovered. And I think that just shows that, you know, social welfare fraud is not a victimless crime. We have to be vigilant to it, but we also need to get it out there that, you know, if you perpetrate this crime, you will be caught, the monies will be recovered, and there's the risk of prosecution.
Now, tell me where the fraud is most prevalent. I mean, it is tiny, less than 1%, and any shopkeeper who suffered only 1% of shrinkage from shoplifting would be probably happy that things were going rather well. But looking at the different categories, job seekers, child benefit, pensions, any kind of disability payments, where is fraud most likely to occur based on these figures?
They didn't break in the reply given to me. They didn't give me that breakdown. But I think we know from some of the cases that have been brought, you know, identity fraud is a big factor here, where people pretend to be someone that they're not, and claim the benefit on foot of that. But I don't have the figures in front of me, and I don't have that data available to me. But it's something that undoubtedly the department would have. But I suspect, you know, if it was the case, like we did see, there was a big issue with the COVID PUP payment, where that was a big issue in terms of the fraud that was perpetrated on the state. I would suspect that if there was a systemic level of fraud in one category of payment rather than another, you know, there would be a campaign around it. My instinct would be that, you know, the level of fraud that is being suspected, it may be on a whole myriad of the payments that social welfare provides.
You know, you get these urban myths, and maybe they're not myths, maybe they're semi-based on fact. The idea that there are people who no longer live in the jurisdiction who are claiming, and there are children who are no longer living in the jurisdiction who are getting child benefit or child benefit collected on their behalf. Do you know anything about that?
Well, they haven't provided those figures, but I mean, they're the kind of stories that I kept hearing, you know, whether campaigning over the last 5 years as a councillor before I became a TD. And that's really why I wanted to get to the bottom of it, get the answers, find out what the extent of the problem is. And I think it would be interesting to know, you know, how much of it is attached to that kind of behaviour, where people are essentially claiming a benefit, but they're living outside the state.
And we don't know the extent to which kind of whistleblowers in a neighbourhood are leading the inspectors to the doors of their neighbours. We don't know those numbers, do we?
No, we don't know those numbers, though we do know that the department actively encourage people to contact, and there is a telephone number attached to their website in relation to this type of fraud.
And is there any incentive to people to report? I mean, is there any reward system for them rather than just knowing they're saving the taxpayer money?
Well, look, I think being the good citizen is, you know, no more than any other kind of crime. You know, like the Gardaí would always tell you, if you see any kind of crime, report that crime, because if you don't report it.
Yeah, but when will the Gardaí arrive? That's a different question entirely, because we've been hearing from, you know, Vox Pops with business people around Dublin City Centre. You might be waiting. We don't have a car. Sorry, we can't get there. It'll be an hour and a half. So I wouldn't necessarily quote that as being the best practice to emulate. Report to the Gardaí, and what will happen and when.
Well, the only thing I would say is that, like, I mean, the figures are high, the value is high, but it does appear that the investigators in the department are doing their work and they are recovering the money for the taxpayer.
Okay, now Suzanne Rowder is listening to our conversation of Social Justice Ireland. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Now, less than 1%, is this a storm in a teacup?
I'm always fascinated by the language we use. And again, you know, the deputy's correct. Like, this is suspected welfare fraud. So I'm going to hang everything on that word. And again, he's really correct in the sense that there's a lot of work goes into proving that, you know, an act is fraud. It has to be like a high standard of proof has to be there. The decision suggests that, you know, it can't just be false information or, you know, withholding something, but that you have to do it deliberately.
No, but the facts are the numbers, 24 million overpaid. Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah. So that's no longer suspected. That's, if you like, proven.
Well, that's a suspected, so that's a proven overpayment. And I know myself from signing on in the past, it's a difficult enough system, and it can be possible because what you do is you sign on the bottom to say all the information I have supplied is correct, and I add my signature. So if the information isn't correct, this is where we have those cases of suspected fraud. So if I forget something, if I get something wrong, then I'm into that area. And I just, you know, in that space, like, everything has moved online. Our digital literacy skills as a country are pretty decent, but there's only about 3/4 of us have the basics. Mm. But our basic literacy and numeracy levels across the country are actually quite low. OECD released a piece of work there last year. Like, 1 in 5 adults are below level 1 in literacy and 1 in 4 are below level 1 in numeracy. So obviously, you know, fraud is fraud, but the suspected fraud, it can be very, very, very simple and very easy to make a mistake on this system.
Yeah, but what James says, the bar is very high for those inspectors to prove it's actual deliberate fraud, not illiteracy carelessness or misreading or dyslexia, whatever it might be.
But we don't have the numbers for the ones that are actually been designated.
I don't think with a budget of over $2 billion for the social welfare department that fraud amounting to less than 1% is such a numerical big deal, a budgetary big deal. What it is for many people who observe it, it's an affront to them. They get up early in the morning, they work hard, and they observe a lifestyle in a workless household that is superior to their own. That's where it comes in. You know, it's not really about can we afford this or should we be chasing down every shilling, every euro, every dollar. You know, it's not that kind of thing. It's the effrontery of people who do it.
It's extraordinary, I suppose, again, that kind of story that we tell ourselves, because core social welfare rates at the moment from January 2025, it's €244 a week. So that's what a single job seeker gets. So that has to put the roof over your head. So you've either got to pay your council rent or your rent through HAP. God forbid you're in a mortgage situation. You have to feed yourself. You have to put the heat on, the light on. You have to top up your phone. You have to get your transport, put your bins out. That's a big ask in that €244. So, as you said, that conception that we have that there are people who are living the high life on €244 a week, I don't think I could do it. I wouldn't even know where to begin, how to have the best little life possible on that limited amount of money and to try and stretch it that far. But that's the thing, where cases of fraud have been, highlighted and found to be, valid, that is then a criminal offence. You know, as the deputy said, they have to be really, really careful about the high standard of proof, because it's two different paths that you move down then from the overpayment.
Okay, but the point I'm making is people who are, in receipt of job seekers, for example, when they're obviously working and they have a lifestyle that cannot be explained by what you describe as, a barely subsistence payments from the state. And yet they're living a lifestyle that is not consistent with that, and that's what gets up people's noses.
Yeah, I mean, well, that is if an individual is working and is making a claim, they are, when they make their job seeker's claim, they are supposed to. So, I mean, that is a case of, of fraud. Like, nobody's standing over that. There's nobody who could stand over somebody, deliberately defrauding the system. Absolutely nobody.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, it is, relatively speaking, in budgetary terms, a minor problem, but it is a problem that really annoys people when they observe, as I say, people living a life that cannot be explained by social welfare payments alone. James Gagan, thank you very much for joining us. Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay South, and Suzanne Rogers from Social.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.